now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. And we need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
We've got some classic comedy back on the menu this week from the early 60s. In fact, comedy from Woody Allen, news on the passing of an actress. One of the funniest shows of the 1960s. And we talk about the dress code. That's all coming up with the Cocktail Nation. Right now, Nutty and Impossible Past.
Satin, never reaching the end. Letters I've written, I never meaning to stand. Beauty I'd always missed with these eyes before. Just while the truth is, I can't say anymore, but I love you. Yes, I love you. Oh, I love you. Gazing at people, some hand in hand. Just what I'm going through, they can't understand. Some try to tell me thoughts they cannot defend. Just what you want to be, you're gonna be in the end. And I love you. Yes, I love you. Oh, I love you. I love you. Never meaning to send. Beauty I'd always missed with these eyes before. Just what the truth is, I can't say anymore, but I love you.
Oh,
Breathe deep. The gathering gloom. Watch lights fade from every room. Bedsitter people look back and lament. Another day's useless energy spent. Impassioned lovers wrestle as one. Lonely man cries for love and has none. New mother picks up and suckles her son. Senior citizens, man, wish they were young. Cold-hearted orb that rules the night. Remove the colors from our sight. Red is gray and yellow white. But we decide which is right and which is an illusion.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Thanks to Ultraswank.net.
Donation, Lounge Leader, Coop Cooper, Martini Kings, and Zooby Zooby Zoo. Of course, made famous during the Mad Men television show, which I really do miss. Really do. Anyway, I'm here to find a replacement for it. I've tried Magic City, but I just find myself drifting off with that program. Just never really get into it. Let's get into some comedy now. The real deal from the 60s. It's Woody Allen.
I live across the street from the Metropolitan Museum of Art, which is this fabulous museum of art. And when I was younger, I used to hang out a lot at the museum in search of a meaningful social relationship of some. I used to look for girls at the museum. And I saw on the wall once a nude by Rubens, but a real succulent nude. A naked huntress stabbing to death a warthog. And I got very emotionally involved with the painting, you know. And two gods had to restrain me. Tried to lick some of the oil off the canvas. So I was thinking to myself, at that time, where is it that I could meet the kind of girl that would pose for that type picture? And in my neighborhood, there's an art supply shop that deals in offbeat things. And I run down there, and I get the name of an artist model off the wall. And I call her up. And I came on very strong like an artist. You know, I used a lot of very artistic terms like brush, I said, and easel. I was just adorable. And we agreed on a price, you know, and hung up. And I got all dressed up in my smock and beret, you know, and little Harvey's Bristol cream on the hair. I'm too much what I want to be. And I waited there. Now, later, there's a knock on my door, and standing there is this fabulous woman, but really sensational. And I let her in quickly, you know, and I lock the door with my police lock immediately. And I said to her, take off your clothes right away, because I don't know much about art, but I know what I like. She took off everything, very professional, and posed. And I began to shake, you know. That's my thing, I shake all the time. I'm not good in those kind of situations, you know. I'm perspiring audibly, you know. She's standing there in front of me, majestic. I took my piece of paper and my charcoal pencil, and I went up to her, and I got into little trouble with her because I tried to trace her. Living as I do in our rich neighborhood in New York, we get robbed all the time there. It's a very popular thing in Manhattan. You know, my apartment was robbed around 4 times in 2 years. And I didn't know what to do about it, you know. They just broke in and took things and would leave or anything. And finally, I put on my door a little red and white sticker that said, "We gave." I figured that would end it, you know. But it didn't, because a man in my building, Mr. Russo, was held up late at night. Two very big guys got him in the lobby with a bottle and a stick, you know, and they wanted all this cash. And Russo, like a jerk, tried to sign for it for tax purposes, you know. They hit him a tremendous shot across the frontal lobe, you know, a real smack in the head. And he fell to the lobby in a fetal position, you know. And he lay there till his lease ran out, you know, just got it like that. And he's never been the same since the blows to the head, you know. He smiles a lot now. He laughs out of context occasionally. He's not as alert as the average tree stump, you know. Everybody in the building panicked. They said, I'm small, and I should build myself up. In case I get into trouble, I could defend myself. So I was petrified at that time. I went to Vic Tanney's health club in the United States, and I lifted and I bent and I squatted. Nothing happened to me at all. Nothing grew or anything. It was really dismal. But I figured, it's ridiculous. Why don't I just forget about it, give Vic Tanney the cash, and ask him if he'll walk me home nights. There is, however, in my neighborhood, a kid named Leon, a little weird kid, and Leon takes karate lessons. And Leon is always walking around with his hand cocked at a right angle like this. And everyone said I should learn judo because I'd be an absolute animal if I knew it. What are you laughing at, lady? But judo to me has always been a thing of, the bigger your opponent is, the bigger the beating he's going to give you. That's the way I feel about it. The Japanese lost the war, you know, and don't want to get involved. Lived in fear. Then my good friends told me in the back of Esquire magazine, you can send away for a fountain pen that shoots tear gas. A great fountain pen, and it secretes a gaseous billow, you know, it can disorient a dog if necessary. Really a thing. I send away for it, comes in a plain brown wrapper. Unscrew it, put in the tear gas cartridges, clip it in my breast pocket, and I go out one night. This was a long time ago. Some friends of mine were having a surprise autopsy. And I'm dancing, you know, really sensational. Coming home by myself, 2 o'clock in the morning. It's pitch black, I'm all alone, and standing in my lobby is a Neanderthal man, you know. Eyebrow ridges and hairy knuckles like this, you know. He had just learned to walk erect that morning, I think. Came to my house in search of the secret of fire. A tree swinger in the lobby. A mouth breather looking at me like, like this, you know. So quickly I took my watch out and I dangled it in front of him because they're mollified by shiny objects. You know, but he ate it. I backed off, pulled out my tear gas pen, I unscrewed the top, I pressed the trigger, and some ink trickled on my shirt. And I made a mental note to call Esquire and tell them that I'm standing in the lobby, 2 o'clock in the morning, with the product of a broken home, you know. I had a fountain pen in my hand. I tried writing on him with it, you know. He came for me and he started to tap dance on my windpipe. Very quickly, I lapsed into the old Navajo Indian trick of screaming and begging. He got my head and he started to remove my wisdom teeth, you know. And I'm hitting him and I'm telling him he's the product of an economic squeeze, you know. And I offered to send him to holiday camp if he wanted. And finally, some cops, I would say 6 cops, came in and they saw what was going on. And they took his side. I shot a moose once. I didn't mean to break it to you that way. I shot a moose. Was hunting upstate New York in the woods. And I tied the moose onto the fender of my car. And I drove back home. But I didn't realize that the bullet had not penetrated the moose, but had just creased its scalp, knocking it unconscious. So I'm driving home along the highway, and I'm going through a tunnel. The moose woke up. So I'm driving with a live moose on my fender. The moose is signaling for a turn. And there's a law in New York State against driving with a conscious moose Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. All right, I don't know what to do. I'm panicky. I realize some friends of mine are having a costume party. I'll go with the moose. I'll ditch him at the party. It wouldn't be my responsibility. So I drive to the party. I go up to the front door. The moose is next to me. I knock on the front door. The host comes to the door. I say, hello. You know the Solomons. We go in. The moose starts to mingle. Goes to the buffet table. Some guy tries to sell him insurance. The moose is doing great, meanwhile, you know. He scored. 12 o'clock comes. They judge who's got the best costume of the night. First prize goes to the Berkeley. A married couple dressed in a moose suit. The moose comes in second. The moose is furious. He and the Berkowitzes lock antlers in the living room. They knock each other unconscious. Now I figure I'll get rid of him for good. I pile him on the fender and speed up to the woods. But I got the Berkowitzes. I'm driving along with 2 Jewish people on my fender. And there's a law in New York State. The next morning, the Berkowitzes wake up in the woods in a moose suit. Mr. Berkowitz is shot, stuffed, and mounted at the New York City Golf Club. And the joke is on them because they don't allow Jews.
Cocktail Nation via the World Wide Web.
Nation.
Nation with Tikiaki Orchestra there, one from their brand new albums called Idol Worship, the song Malagar Cove. Some sad news this week: actress Melody Patterson is best known for playing Wrangler Jane on F Troop. She died at the age of 66. I actually would have thought she would have been a whole lot older, but according to Variety, that was her age, and she died in a nursing home after multiple organ failure. In addition to being an F Troop from 65 through to 67, she appeared on other shows like The Monkees, Adam 12, Green Acres, also a few episodes of Hawaii 5-0, which featured her husband at the time, James MacArthur. So there you go, the passing of Melody Patterson, who most people remember as Wrangler Jane on F Troop. Here's James Spencer from his latest album, Blue. This is In a Blue Mood on the Cocktail Nation.
tell me who you really are?
Napoleon Solo. I represent an organization designated as the UNC, Ali.
UNC? Uncle?
The Cocktail Nation.
Donation with L'Angelita Cooper Cooper and Stan Getz, Moonlight in Vermont. Interesting week this week. I headed off to the football to see a game. The rugby league, of course, is what I'm talking about. That's the main game here in Sydney. Roosters versus the Brisbane Broncos. And it's kind of funny the way people lose their minds over a dress code. Now, I was given some tickets. I invited along some friends of mine, business people, and I shot an email around saying, by the way, there's a dress code. What happened after that is interesting. People seem to lose their minds over dress codes. From indignation to confusion, people seem to struggle the concept of a suggestion of what to wear. I would have thought it would make it a little bit easier. Somebody's actually telling you what you should wear. I remember going to my grandfather's funeral wearing black top to toe, and the guy at the petrol station was sneering at me sarcastically, and he said, hey, you go to a funeral, man, to which I replied, as a matter of fact, I am, you insensitive. Anyway, today it seems that most people are oblivious of the concept of wearing clothes appropriate to your chosen activity or venue. Now, contrary to mythology, I don't wear a tux every minute of the day, sometimes sports coats, sometimes Hawaiian shirts, shirt and tie, tennis wear for, well, you guessed it, tennis, and golf wear on the golf course. There's lots of variations of different activities and clothes that you might wear, but one thing is always common. I do dress for the occasion with my own Cooper slant. When it comes to dress codes, I don't think we have enough of them, and I really wish more restaurants and venues would be brave enough to set down the rules, buck the trend of clueless dressing, and finally sort out the 40-year-old men who dress like 10-year-old boys. Years ago, I used to go to a jazz venue on a Wednesday night. It was fabulous because it had a very, very strict dress code. In fact, so strict that it was jacket and tie, which you don't really hear of that often. But you know what? It made for a fantastic atmosphere. So there you go. Clubs, bars, restaurants. Bring back the dress code, I say. Time for a look at the weather. Swing now for pastimealbumclocks.com. Now, here's a gig that I don't actually have a date for yet, but it's called Noir at Bar, Seattle. Gruesome Tales of Crime and Debauchery. And they're basically inviting a whole bunch of people who are noir writers to come along and read some of their works aloud. So maybe this might be for you. The best way to find out the date, which I believe is still a TBA, is head over to their website or their Facebook page, Noir at Bar, and you should be able to find out the details that you need. But when we get some more details, we will get it to you. What else have we got? Jack Crosley's Lost World is back on again. This is on every second Tuesday of the month at Otto's Shrunken Head, Forbidden Island, Alameda, movie nights every Tuesday night. Gotham Jazz, we've got the Jazz Swing every Wednesday night. Coming up September the 12th, it's the Weekend in Polynesia event, Long Beach Recreation Club. September 19th, the Marilyn Monroe Festival in Sydney. And October the 1st, Oahu Luau by the Sea in Fort Lauderdale. And Mod Palm Springs, October 8th. And don't forget, Weekend at Sinatra's. Palm Springs, December 11. These gigs and lots more on the World of Swank gig guide, cocktailnation.net. Right now from the Man from U.N.C.L.E. brand new soundtrack, this is Daniel Pemberton and Mission Rome.
Communication tailored for your needs of today and tomorrow.
Coop, how are you, man?
Very good, very good.
Awesome. Hey, Coop, how you doing? You know, I love your program. Hey, buddy. Always connect with you, man. It's like been way too long. You gotta come out here. Are you gonna come out?
Hello. No one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
Keep doing what you're doing, man. Love the Cocktail Nation.
You'd be so nice to come home to. You'd be so nice by the fire while the breeze on high sang a lullaby. You'd be all that I could desire. I understand. stars, chilled by the winter, under an August moon, burning above. You'd be so nice, you'd be paradise to come home.
With Clifford Brown, you'd be so nice to come home to. Now, as I have mentioned over the last couple of weeks, my first fiction book has been released with Bear Manor Media. You might like to check it out. Just 99 cents if you'd like to come and dig the lounge adventures of a lounge Lothario assassin. You can find it over in the Amazon website. And available as an ebook, not as a hardcover book, just simply as an ebook for you. So what, nice and cheap, easy to get. Called Licato Prince, Accidental Assassin. And you can read more about it on my website, cocktailnation.net. Alika Lyman Group now, and Kemana Hila on the Cocktail Nation.
something cool. I'd like to order something cool. It's so warm here in town, and the heat gets me down. Yes, I'd like something cool. My, it's nice to simply sit and rest a while. Now I know it's a shame I can't think of your name. I remember your smile. I don't ordinarily drink with strangers. I most usually drink alone. But you were so awfully nice to ask me, and I'm so terribly far from home. Like my dress, I must confess it's very old, but it's simple and neat. It's just right for the heat. I'll save my furs for the cold. A cigarette. Well, I don't smoke them as a rule, but I'll have one. It could be fun with something. Bet you couldn't imagine that I one time had a house with so many rooms I couldn't count them all. I'll bet you couldn't imagine I had 15 different beaux who would beg and beg to take me to a ball. I bet you couldn't picture me the time I went to Paris in the fall. And who would think that the man I loved was quite so handsome, quite so tall? It's just a memory I had. One I almost forgot, 'cause this weather's so hot, and I'm feeling so bad about a day. Such a fool. You're just a guy who stopped to buy me something. Thank you.
Cocktail Nation, Ruth Cameron, something cool. Next week on the show, something very, very cool. A Eurospy special once again. I'm going to leave you with Michelle Lordy and True Love. Stay hip.
While I give to you and you give.